Welcome to Intuitive Bites Podcast. I'm your host, Kirsten Ackerman, the Intuitive RD. I'm a non-diet registered dietitian and intuitive eating coach. My mission is to help women recover from diet culture and heal their relationship to food and body. Follow along as I speak with leading professionals in the field and explore concepts of intuitive eating, health at every size, and body liberation.
This episode of Intuitive Bites Podcast is brought to you by Workweek Lunch. This is something that has been a lifesaver for me. Workweeklunch.com has an amazing, affordable meal planning tool that's all about saving you time, effort, and money when it comes to your meals so you can get more out of life. We all know how meal planning can be a bit overwhelming, especially when you're trying to figure out where it fits in while working on your relationship with food with intuitive eating. That's where workweeklunch.com shines. With easy-to-follow, delicious meal plans, it takes the guesswork out of what to cook and helps you focus more on enjoying your food. What I personally love about Workweek Lunch is how it simplifies decision-making around food in the moment. No more decision fatigue about meals leading to grazing throughout the day and ultimately not feeling good. Workweek Lunch makes your life easier, giving you back those precious hours for things you love beyond the kitchen. If you're ready to get organized with your food in a way that supports, not hinders, your relationship with food, head over to workweeklunch.com/intuitive-bites for 5 of my favorite meal prep recipes that will help you totally rethink what it means to meal plan. Save time, enjoy your food, and take the stress out of mealtime with Workweek Lunch. Hey guys, welcome to episode 174 of Intuitive Bites. Today I'm chatting with Julie Newbury, who you may know from Instagram as the.intuitive.trainer. And we're talking all about how to measure progress with fitness without focusing on body size or shape or appearance. As you can hear, my voice is not totally here today, but the good news is when we recorded this episode, it was totally fine. So this will be a very quick intro, but I'm excited to share this episode with you guys today. Also, just letting you guys know that I do have enrollment opening for a brand new group very soon. So just keep your eyes peeled, especially if you are a mom working on intuitive eating. You're going to want to listen out for this new offering. All right, guys, let's go ahead and listen into my conversation with Julie. All right, Julie, welcome to the podcast. I would love to start off by just hearing a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Thanks. I'm excited for this. So I am a personal trainer, but I operate from like a body neutral, weight neutral, non-diet framework. Growing up, I struggled with my weight a lot. And unfortunately, as a teenager, that developed into an eating disorder and a very disordered relationship with exercise. So I struggled with that for several years. It wasn't until I was about 30 that I actually was able to get some help, and I started learning about intuitive eating and sort of a non-diet approach, and it was just this amazing thing because I was in so much pain and so much suffering.
Yeah.
And I didn't know there was any other way. I thought this is just the price you pay to try to have the perfect body, which will give you the perfect life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so as my therapist was introducing me to these ideas, like the concept that you can actually be happy in whatever body you have, you can actually enjoy exercise, you can actually enjoy your food. It was just, I felt like I was being let out of this prison.
Yeah.
I had the key to all along. I just had to take the key and let myself out and do the work. Mm-hmm. So it was life-changing for me. And it was about a few years after that I started working as a personal trainer. And I was just so, I had fallen in love with exercise, and I started doing triathlons, and it was just all about what my body could do.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in my life, whereas before it was all about punishment and control, and it was so empowering, and I just felt so much love and respect for my body, and I just wanted to share that with as many people as I could.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what brought me into this line of work, and I just love it. I find so much fulfillment in it. It's great.
Oh, that's amazing. I feel like I could say a lot of the same words that just came out of your mouth. Very much resonates. I'm curious, like, what your background is in before You had learned about intuitive eating, everything. Like, did you find that your struggles around exercise or with food and body, like, kind of led you down a certain path?
As far as like to finding intuitive eating or
Or no, like, even like your education and like what you were doing prior to learning about
oh,
intuitive eating.
I see. No, it was there was no it was I was obsessed with like my counting my macros. I did macro tracking for years.
Yeah.
I mean, I was weighing my salsa. I was terrified of eating carrots and peas.
Right.
It was just so bad. And but I was actually got my major in criminal justice,
Oh, wow.
so
Okay. So totally different.
it had nothing to do with that. It was just, growing up, I was in a bigger body as a child, and I was like teased all the time, and all given that reinforced message that like you'll be loved if just lose the weight. Just if you can lose
Yeah.
the weight, then everybody will like you, kind of thing. So it was just from a very young age, those messages
Yes.
were drilled into me. So it just became my life. My whole life revolved around trying to have this perfect body.
Right. So painful. Oh my gosh. And I definitely resonate with what, I mean, yeah, the story of just like once you did find this framework, it was like an aha and like just feeling so much freedom. Even when you're not like fully embodying it right off the bat, it's just like, oh my gosh, like this makes so much sense. It wasn't ever my fault. And like there's another way to do this. Okay, well, thank you for sharing a little bit about that. I always think it's helpful to hear people's story, and so often I don't think I've ever asked anyone on this podcast that question and had them be like, "Yeah, I had no history with struggling with
Right.
food and body." It's, it's very common.
Right.
So today I wanted to talk to you more about basically measuring fitness progress without focusing on weight and weight loss, and not only that, but like body shape and appearance, because I feel like that's oftentimes like a shift people make. They're like, okay, I'm not going to focus on the scale, but then they're focusing on changing aesthetics in some way. And I just feel like it can be so hard to get out of that. It's like, how am I supposed to, am I just not supposed to measure progress at all? Like, what do I do? So, what are some of the ways that people are conditioned in our culture to measure progress with fitness, and why could those be detrimental potentially?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just for some reason that is all fitness has become, right? It's just completely tied to either weight loss or aesthetic changes. And
Yep.
it's just so frustrating because it's this amazing tool we have that gives us so much better quality of life. I mean, everybody knows all the benefits from
Yes.
exercise, but for some reason, the fitness industry just gloms onto aesthetics, and that's all. So first of all, recognizing like that's what we're swimming in, right? So if you're struggling to get out of that, like, no, it is so hard because that's all the messaging we're giving. I think, in gyms and with trainers and instructors and people we follow on social media, the focus, I think it's shifting quite a bit away from weight loss, but like you said, it's shifting more to a big butt and a flat stomach and more this, less this, and which is it's just the same thing.
It is.
It's still about using exercise to control and manipulate your body. And the further away this body ideal is from your natural body, the more extreme you have to be with your
Yeah.
exercise and your diet. And for the most part, like it's impossible. It's an impossible body to reach.
Yeah. Right. There's always going to keep shifting, right? For most people, it's like, okay, I achieved whatever, but like, I still don't like this. Like, it's like the fixation is just going to keep shifting and morphing.
Absolutely, because there's always going to be something, and it's an industry, right? It's a business, so
Yeah.
they're going to shift it.
Right.
Once everyone has that big butt, you're going to shift
Right.
it. You need this now,
Yeah.
right? So I think when we can recognize that and go back to, I think if you can just ask yourself, like turn to yourself and say, is this working for me? Like, most people, they want to exercise, they want to incorporate that somehow. Is this working for me to do it, focusing on my weight and my body? And
Yeah.
if it's not, just know there is another option. There's another option where you can do it more about internal things, how you're feeling, how you're sleeping, how, if you're getting more mobility, are you able to get on the floor with your grandkids? All these other amazing things. Are you off your blood pressure medication? That can happen just by the practice of exercise with or without the body changes, which
Yes.
so freeing and opens up all these to what kind of movement you can enjoy and do.
That's really helpful. And I appreciate you saying, like, yeah, asking that question of, like, is it working for you? Because I think so often people can get trapped in with, like, well, my cousin or my sister or my coworker is like doing this, and it's like their body's changed and they're so happy and everything's going so well for them. First of all, we don't actually know what's going on for that person or what their mental state is or what their life's going to be like 6 months from now, a year from now, or whatever, right? If that's going to be sustainable. But either way, whether it works for them is irrelevant to whether it's like how it's working for you and where it's leaving your mental state. So yeah, I think it's just important to like bring that focus back to yourself when it's so easy to get trapped in that comparison.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, what are some methods that folks can turn to if they're trying to get out of this trap of focusing on weight loss, appearance? What other things in particular? I mean, you feel like you kind of already touched on this, but what things might they be able to start focusing on?
So I usually suggest for those who are open to it, having just like a little exercise journal. It could be an actual journal or it could be something on your phone. That just where you put in your why and really get kind of deep into this. Like, why do you want to move your body? Why do you want to exercise? And it's okay if one of the reasons is weight loss or aesthetic changes. Like, just acknowledge that. Like, that's there. But I also have these other reasons why that I'm going to focus on and just kind of let my body naturally settle in where it's going to settle in. So having your why and then kind of writing down how you feel before you move, during and after, and just start seeing trends there. And just start seeing, hey, you know what? I am feeling better on the days I get out and go for a walk. I do fine. I get more done in the afternoons. So you can just kind of see the data there. Not everybody wants to track anything, and that's fine too, but just kind of take note of it, you know, just take note of how things are improving in your life. And then there's just so many ways. Are your social connections improving? You know, because when you let go of these rigid rules around what exercise is and supposed to be, you're actually able to go out. Like, I just started picking up pickleball with my
Yeah.
neighbor friends. And I would never have done that like 10, 15 years ago. I would have been like, no, I have to run or I have to
Yes.
lift weights. And it's just so much fun to connect with these women, and we're just moving our bodies and having fun. So, are your social connections getting better? Are you feeling more confident? I think one of the wonderful side effects of moving your body is you start to respect it more when you're moving it in alignment with your values. So, you know, I value getting outside, I value my family, whatever it is, and you're able to use your body to help support you in
Yes.
living, doing the things you want to do that bring you joy. You start having a lot more respect for it and a lot more confidence with or without the changes. And then just all
Yes.
the other things like blood pressure, cholesterol, all that is there, and it can change again with or without weight loss. It's
Yes.
amazing to see. And I think that just
Yes.
can give
That's
people,
awesome. Yeah. And so to speak to your point too about like the increase in like confidence just like in your body too, like I feel like just having like those positive experiences in your body, like going out to play pickleball and it's like, oh my gosh, like my body can do that and that felt so good and that was really fun, versus when all of your experiences with your body are kind of like very narrowly about how do I feel about how I look in the mirror or what the number said on the scale, right? It's like I feel like it's just so powerful to create these more positive experiences, and like exercise and movement can be a huge part of that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think it helps us see our body as something more than just something to be looked at. It's like,
Yes.
oh, it's my ally, it's my buddy, I get to do all these cool things, and I take care of it. It takes care of me, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, such a shift. I mean, I feel like people listening are going to be like, I do not feel that way with my body at all. But like, yes, it is something to like take little baby steps towards because it's really cool to develop that relationship. That's an interesting one, the social connections. I hadn't even thought about that too, but yeah, I can see how like obviously like being very rigid in your exercise routine can block those social connections. So being able to shift that like opens up a lot of other opportunities. And then I love the idea of like, yeah, writing down your why. I mean, I feel like that's just so important. And I also am glad you said, Hey, it's okay if on your list is still like body change in some way, because for the vast majority of folks that you or I work with, like that is gonna be there to some extent. And it may kind of shift down on the, list at points or through different phases, and it might come up during other ones. And like that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It means you live in the society that we live in and you have the lived experience throughout your life that you have had, right?
Right.
Yeah, so awesome. Okay. So I'm curious, do you ever think it's like helpful? So I have oftentimes I'll have people that do like step trackers and things like that. And usually my recommendation to them is, hey, like let's build a connection to your body and like take away the numbers and like just get you like tuning in. But I'm curious your thoughts on this, like in the long term, like do you think it has a place?
Yeah, I always like to, because I get asked this a lot, and I always like to turn it back on the person and say, well, what do you feel when you're using one and not using one?
Ooh, okay.
And if
I
they're
love that.
feeling like extreme anxiety, like they get to the gym and they've forgotten their tracker and they're like, I can't do my workout. Like it happens. People will leave and go home.
Yes.
It's just this like, it's fun to kind of just see my trends, and I like seeing my heart rate and those kind of things, So if it's just kind of you're into data and it's fun for you and it's this neutral thing, I say go for it. Like that's fine. You
Cool.
don't have to pathologize something just because it can be detrimental. But if
Yes.
it's not working for you, if you're like, no, I'm pretty, like I'll walk around my kitchen at 11:30 even though I should be going to bed because I need to get in those last 1500 steps,
Yes.
that kind of stuff. So and then I would just gently suggest, like, let's just take a break. Like, take one day where you don't wear it and just see what happens,
Yep.
Be
Love
solid with
that.
it. You're exercising. Are you able to kind of just listen to your body a little bit more, and take those baby steps? And then, oh, let's try 2 days. And knowing, like, you can always go back to it. I think people freak out, like, what? You can't take it away forever. And it's just like, just try baby steps, see how it's going. And I've seen so many clients, eventually they just don't even want to wear it because they
Yeah.
find it's so much more enjoyable to listen to your what's going on inside your body and kind of calm your mind a little and get you in that
Yeah.
state of flow when you're exercising, and the trackers can kind of take you out of that state. So, but for some people it's just fine. It's just a fun little tool.
Yep, I think that's really helpful again to find like that gray area of like, hey, it's really not going to work for some folks, and it could be okay for some folks, especially maybe further on your journey. Who knows? Only you can kind of know that by like, yeah, turning inward. So that's really helpful. Okay, so what are your thoughts on how to keep diet culture out of your relationship with movement?
It's so hard. It's so hard because it's this thing that's so good, right? We're like, we all know it's so good for you to move your body and exercise.
Yes.
And so, but then it's tied with so much shame, right? Like diet culture has just made it this shameful thing that I think starts for most people like in elementary school, right? Like doing fitness tests and those kind of things where you can't touch your toes as well as the person next to you and you're being
Right.
graded on it. Which is, yeah. So I think understanding one, just kind of seeing that big picture, like, okay, this is what it's become, but that's not working for me. I don't want to do that anymore. So having compassion for how hard it is, and then redefining what it means for you. Like you, I love people to think of their exercise practice as a relationship. So it's a two. So it's your exercise practice and you. And it's just you two. And you guys get to define how your relationship works. Like, so you're gonna protect each other. You're gonna protect each other from these negative voices coming in. You're gonna protect each other from things that would break that relationship or harm that relationship or make it this powered struggle with each other, And
Yes.
so kind of and that could mean like cultivating your social media where you're seeing diverse messages and diverse bodies and things, finding a friend with like that kind of is like-minded with you to kind of so you guys can exercise together.
Yes.
But just reclaiming what exercise is going to mean for you, and it will change your life. And not only will you feel empowered in your exercise, but you'll find yourself reclaiming so many other things in your life. because you'll see how good it makes you feel to move your body in the ways that align with you, that you'll be like, I'm saying no thank you to at work now, and I'm saying no thank you to this date I'm on. And you just start becoming more confident in choosing things that are right for you.
Yes, and like standing up for your needs, right? And feeling more confidence and like protecting that. So that's an idea. I definitely see that time and time again with both the food and movement stuff, and it just like filtering out. I like that idea of thinking about it as like a relationship between you and like your whatever, your exercise routine, your fitness routine, your relationship with movement. And not that like forces aren't going to try to be getting in and the thoughts aren't going to be popping up of like, oh, maybe this will make me lose weight, but that like you're going to work together and you're going to like be like, okay, I'm not making choices from that place. Like it's there, but I'm not making choices from that place. And it's just like an entirely different way of approaching movement that so many people like it's just foreign to them. But yeah, it's a really powerful shift. So what would you say to the person who's been listening to us chatting today and they're like, everything you're saying is resonating for me. I really like the idea of like moving more in this different way. What is just like one piece of advice you have for them right now?
So if this is kind of clicking with you, I would write down some of the rules you have around exercise, whether you're exercising or not currently. Just kind of write down some of the rules you've internalized and pick one or two that you're just like, I really would like this to change. Because you'll be surprised how many rules you have around it. But if it's just like a diet or anything, like it's all about black and white, go all in or all out. So if you try to totally revamp your relationship with exercise and movement, you'll get so overwhelmed. You'll feel like a failure. You feel like I can't do this. And that's the last thing we want, right? We want this to be a very positive, joyful thing. So I think starting small, which is the opposite of diet culture, right? Like it's easy because you're getting these results, and then it gets harder and harder, where this kind of intuitive approach is harder and harder, and then it starts getting easier.
Oh my God, that's such a good way of putting it. So true.
So yeah, just pick one or two, and you're gonna start real small with that. Decide like, okay, I'm gonna approach it this way. And then, like you said, like those thoughts are still gonna be there. They are. Like, I do this for a living, and I've been working at this for 15 years, and I still get those thoughts popped up. But you'll get really good at recognizing where they're coming from and being like, eh, I'm not gonna change my, I'm not gonna make a different decision based on that thought. I'm just gonna acknowledge it's there, goodbye, have a nice afternoon. And then celebrate those small little wins. And the small wins can be things you don't really think of. Like maybe if you're exercising at home and you normally do it in front of the mirror because you're motivated by seeing your body, punishing yourself almost kind of thing. Maybe your win is you turned away. You flipped your TV the other way and you worked out not looking at the mirror. Maybe the win is you skipped a workout. Maybe you're like, I need to cut back. Like, I'm exhausted all the time. And so maybe your win is you skipped it and you went to lunch with friends instead. So find those little wins and see like, hey, I can do this. And you're just gonna slowly build on that.
Yeah, I think those examples are so helpful because people might be thinking of wins differently than what you just described, but that's amazing, and that's showing your relationship is, with exercise is shifting. Thank you for everything you've shared today, Julie. I know this is going to be so helpful for people. Can you please let everyone know where they can find you online and any offerings you have available?
Okay, so on Instagram, my handle is The Intuitive Trainer, and then my website is julienewbury.com. I have some offerings coming up in the spring that I'm excited about, so some online stuff that I'm working on. So
Awesome.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you again, Julie.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's a wrap on episode 174 with Julie Newbury. Once again, you can find her on Instagram at the.intuitive.trainer. And also a final reminder to keep your eyes and ears peeled for my upcoming new offering, particularly if you are a mom who is working on intuitive eating and wanting to embrace it so that you can also pass down a more positive relationship with food and body to your kids. So that is all I will say for now. And I hope you guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.